Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Well, I hope everybody's got their popcorn and you're sitting down and you're ready to have a fun and exciting show. I want to thank all of you so much for taking the time to join us tonight on At Home with Victoria. I am Victoria Gaither, your television host, news anchor, and reporter. And just to let everybody inside the chat room know, Kirsten is in the house. I just spoke with her on the line, so we're going to go ahead and bring her on and just get the conversation started. You guys know I don't like to do really long introductions, so let's just go ahead and kick this show off. Kirsten, I want to thank you so much for being here. I've got to tell you, I told you before, we are super, super excited that you're here tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited you're excited.
And actually, just to let you know how excited we are, you've got a very, very, very big fan. Her name is Shannon, and Shannon lives in the UK. I think she lives about a couple of hours outside of London, and it is supposed to be her bedtime, but she's a high school student, and she's staying up, and she's in the chat room just to listen to the show because of you.
Oh, that is very nice. And Shannon, I thank you for doing that, and I hope that you still get enough sleep to function tomorrow.
Exactly, exactly. So listen, we all know you from Criminal Minds, and I know Shannon and Sandy and a lot of the other fans of At Home with Victoria and followers of Pretty know you from Pretty. So before we get into the Criminal Minds and all that good stuff, was acting something that you always wanted to do?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, when I was very small, I knew I wanted to be like a ballerina and Wonder Woman and a doctor and a veterinarian. And it seemed logical, you know, acting, because you can kind of do all of those things. And then when I got to be in high school, my mother, I was very shy, and my mom insisted I take drama or like woodshop class. And so I chose drama. And it was really hard for me to, like, talk, but I really did want to do it, but it was hard because I didn't really, I was very shy. And in our first three things we had to do in class, we didn't have to speak. It was all pantomime. And and I got an A. And I had never really gotten an A in a class in my life. And then when we got to the talking part, once I actually got over, you know, just sort of faced my fear about it, I realized it was something I was really good at, and it made me really happy. And once you find out the thing that you love to do, you know, you kind of can't close the box on it, or you'll be miserable the rest of your life. So I had no idea I was going to get paid for it. That's a whole delightful thing that happened. I just thought, well, I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to live on cat food, and that's that. And it's so cool because Steve and I have known each other well before I started doing Criminal Minds, and so I love acting, I love it, and I love being able to do different kinds of things, and I love doing Pretty. It's really fun.
Well, and you know, it's something that you you said, and many, many people like yourself, or basically within any type of industry that I have the privilege and fun to have the opportunity to interview, they always say the exact same thing, is that once you figure out what you like to do and you love doing it and that's your passion, you just simply can't turn away and walk away from it. You've got to do it because it's in you.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, before Criminal Minds, I just did this. Everybody that knows me, I've done like two or three plays a year since I was about 14. And I've just had two or three day jobs. And that's just what you have to do, because if you try to put it away, you're miserable. So you just have to figure out a way, and it's not about making money. And the great thing about that is if all went away tomorrow, if I lost my job and everything, I would still do this. Like, no one can stop me from you know, I love it. I love making stuff, and I especially love making stuff with my friends. So that's all better.
And, you know, for you to say that it's not about money, that in itself is impressive, because you and I both know, especially out there within the Hollywood community and being in L.A., I mean, there are a lot of people who simply just want to get into certain careers because, you know, they are only interested in it for the money. And I remember when I was young starting out in television, and people would say, oh, my goodness, Victoria, you guys must make a lot of money. And I'm thinking to myself, you've got to be kidding me. I'm thinking, trust me, if it was simply based on my salary, I would have found something else to do. Because,
right.
you know, and you very know in acting when you're first starting out, you know, you don't make a lot of money at it.
Yeah, and I mean, I beyond first starting out, when I was well beyond first starting out, I wasn't making any money. So, you know, and there is great value. There are so many incredibly talented actors and artists and, you know, photographers and, I don't know, plumbers, all kinds of people
mm-hmm.
who are so good at what they do, and they don't get paid for it. And there's still such great value in that. Those people that do that thing that they're good at and don't get
mm-hmm.
any, you know, monetary feedback for it. I have such deep respect for those people, and
mm-hmm.
and I want them all to carry on, because without that, there is no underground, there is no bohemia, there's none
yeah.
of that, and that's my favorite place to hang out.
Yeah, that is very, very, very cool. And again, I want to thank we've got so many fans and people that follow your career and that watch Criminal Minds and know you from Pretty that is inside the chat room. And the chat room is, while the show is live, there's a chat room and people kind of talk amongst themselves. And
I know, I would log on, but I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, so I couldn't talk to you and hype.
I got you. Well, I'll definitely keep you up to date on what's happening and being said about you in the chat room. But I was mentioning Shannon because someone in the chat room asked her if she was still breathing right now after you said her name. But, you know, speaking of people like Shannon and all of these fans and stuff, how have you been able to handle that with your popularity of being on Criminal Minds? Because, you know, that I don't have to tell you, that's like a huge popular show.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know what it is? I think that two things. Number one, I think that the show is so intense, and I play like the empath, right? I play the
mm-hmm.
when you get to Garcia, everybody knows, me included, that everything's going to be okay. Like for at least
yeah.
a minute, you're going to get a little respite from everything that's going on, that you've decided, you've signed up, you're going to watch the decapitation or whatever the hell's going to happen. But
right.
you get that moment. So I feel like just anybody that represents that character, I get this great benefit of people feeling really at home around me because I play that character. And I think that what's cool about acting, one of the things about it is that when you play a certain kind of a person, people identify things about themselves that they have a hard time loving in themselves, that they see a character being like that and they can point to it and say, I love that, I love her. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But really, it's all about them. Any kind of like thing that people have about how amazing Garcia is, and I agree with them, by the way. I think she's super, like, she's super human to me. I
yeah.
borrow her confidence multiple times a week. Anything that they say, like, oh, my God, she's so, you know, this and that and the other thing. My dog right now is agreeing with us all.
I have one, too, so I got you. Go right ahead.
Oh. that's in them, and it's, they think it's me, but it's really them. So when people come over and they're like, oh, my God, it's you and it's this and it's that, they're not talking about me. They're talking about them. They just don't know it.
I've never thought about that. I honestly have to tell you, I have never in my life thought about it that way before, because when I first started watching Criminal Minds, it was because it was one of those marathons that was on and I was kind of cleaning up the house. So I said, oh, you know, I'll give it a try. And I have to tell you, I'm not just saying this because you're the person that I'm interviewing tonight, but when you were the first person, the first character of Criminal Minds that actually caught my attention, and I think it goes back to exactly what you said, because anytime you see, you know, Garcia, you know that everything is going to be okay, or, you know, there's always something funny or witty that, you know, you have to say. So it's interesting because now that's really going to make me think about myself and evaluate what characteristics about you in the sense that I really like and if that reflects on me. I've never even thought about that before. Good stuff.
Right, right. See, I watch Shamar Moore and I go, oh, my God, he's so sexy. And that's because I'm identifying my own sexualness.
Interesting. Okay. Well, he is very.
I kind of meant that as a joke. Although I really do that, but but like yeah, no, I think that that's true. Because I notice that about me when I get like a big fan crush on somebody, and I'm like, oh my God, they're like the most amazing thing, and they are. But I think now, you know, working in this job, and I've now seen it from so many angles. I've been, now that I'm in it, you know, it's different than being, wanting to be in it and being totally out
right.
of it. And, you know, it's really different. And I learn so much about it as I go along. I'm making a movie right now with some very genius other theater friends, and it really makes you think about all of that stuff.
So what's the difference between, what's the difference to you between theater? Because I know that that's what you're, largely your background is in, between mm-hmm. theater versus doing a series like Criminal Minds?
To me, there isn't a huge difference. People say that there's mm-hmm. a lot, but in terms of technically, you know, theater, you tend to be in a bigger space. So you will talk louder and your things will come out different, but as an actor, your body sort of naturally adjusts to the space. If there's a camera, you know, 10 inches from you, you're going to talk quieter. Everything's going to get a little smaller naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, that's the difference. Beyond that, there isn't a lot. I mean, you know, when you do something on television, you can mess up and you can do it again.
Right.
But because I'm a theater actor, I try to do very little of that messing up part.
Gotcha.
But I'm actually, like I was mentioning before, I'm making a movie with my friends, and we had done it as a play about a year ago, and it's called Kill Me Deadly, and Shamar Moore is in it, and it's a film noir spoof, and there's a lot of other exciting things about it that I can't say yet. But
when is it coming out? Can you give us an idea about when it's going to be?
We're making it right now, and we're hoping that it's going to. We did a short film version of it.
Okay.
That we've done a couple of screenings of, and we're making a longer version of it. We're hoping that we'll have something that may be shown in the late fall.
Okay, great, great.
Yeah,
great.
But we're making it, and it was a play. It's originally a play, and when we went to go shoot it, it was very similar making something and just the same sort of spirit happens in the same kind of, you know, playfulness and whatever. The only main difference is that more people can see it the other way,
yeah.
I'm a huge proponent of live theater because you get to be more of an active participant as an audience member and sort of like send energy to the people you're watching and they get to send it right to you. So that's what I would say.
I mean, you know, that and that, I was born and raised and grew up in Washington, D.C., and I have so many, many fond memories of a kid growing up and being able to go to the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts and Lincoln Theater. And just to be able, I remember seeing The Wiz and all these different plays live, and you're right. I mean, the feeling that you get when you're sitting there and you're sort of that up close and personal to the actors and actresses on the stage, it's nothing like that at all. I mean,
yeah, nothing. And I try to still, I'm a member of a theater company here called Theater of Note that's in Hollywood. And I've been a member, years before I was on Criminal Minds. And mm-hmm. I'm doing a play this summer. We just started rehearsing for it. And it's a little crazy because it's like I go back to work in July. It's a little nuts. Because, you know, pretty season 3 is going to start, and then we're going to be shooting Kill Me Deadly and Criminal Minds, and I'm going to be doing a play. But I kind of have to, because if I don't, then all I'm going to be doing is playing Garcia. And don't get me wrong, I love Garcia. But Garcia wouldn't be Garcia unless I played other characters.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely, completely get that, and I can certainly feel that from you as well. And speaking of pretty, in a few seconds, Dee Freeman is going to be joining us, and I know you guys know each other, so I'm excited to have both of you
Yeah, me and Deanna have known each other for a long time.
I'm excited to have both of you on the line at the same time. And then my entertainment co-host, Michael Kay, is going to join us. He's the one that kind of, you know, basically can give you every single, Kirsten, detail about every single person's acting career in life. So he's going to be with us in a little bit as well. One more question or comment that I have to make before we bring those two on the line. I've got to ask you, and I emailed Steve earlier today, and I said, Steve, I said, is there anything kind of cool and witty or anything that you can give me advice on asking her? And so he told me to ask you about the clothes that Garcia wears on Criminal Minds. And then he said to me, he goes, but I got to tell you, that is not too far off from how she dresses anyway. So I wanted to talk to you about that because Garcia, I mean, like you said it before too, is that when you see her on that show, you know every single thing is going to be okay. And who puts together the wardrobe and the hairstyles? Because it really just works for the character.
Oh, I agree with you. It takes a village to make Garcia. That is not just me. I gave the first suggestions of it, and I'm lucky that I work at such a great place. I think that's why people love the show so much. It's truly a wonderful place to work. We all get along famously. And so BJ Rogers, who's the costume designer, that's all of her costumes, and Linda D'Andrea, who does my hair, and Anna Fleiner, mm-hmm. who does my makeup. Like, it's a whole, all of them make her all up. However, we are similar neighbors in terms of the way we dress. I like to say that Garcia dresses like a substitute teacher at Hogwarts, and Kirsten yes. dresses like a 7-year-old pirate from space. They're sort
I love
of
it.
Right next to each other. But I can't, like, I will think, oh, that looks cute, and then I'll about to walk out the door and be like, no, I look like Garcia. We dress a little different. I'm a little more punkish than she is. I'm a
right.
little more anti-establishment, if you believe it,
right.
than Garcia is. But not always. When I exercise, I usually wear just regular sweats. I was raised in a very poor family, but a very eccentric family. So mm-hmm. we only shopped at the thrift store. So that's what happens.
Well, I tell you what, like you said, it takes a village to do that. That village is working. Because, I mean, I just love to see how you guys put every single thing together, and it just certainly works and looks well, too. So we do know that the other character, is it AJ? She's back on the show. Is that correct?
Yes, AJ Cook is back on the show. She just signed a 2-year contract, so she's back.
We're very, very happy about that because we all love AJ. And one thing that I have to ask you about Shamar Moore, and then I promise we're gonna bring Dee on the line. So Dee, don't you go anywhere. And I had mentioned to you that your character was the first reason really why I watched the show, because I loved your character so much. And then I not only loved you and loved your character, so as you watch the show, you realize there's this sort of underlying sort of sexual tension that in the show that Shamar Moore has mm-hmm. with you. And I thought, I really love this show. So what is that all about? And I hope that it's going to continue.
Well, it does. It's impossible not to continue because we don't make that up. That is genuine.
Are you serious?
We, like, love each other. I eat him with a spoon. We are the thickest of thick friends. And when people see us, like, that are fans of the show, they get very excited because you can tell we're extremely close. We absolutely adore each other. And all that theater I go and do, he goes to mm-hmm. every play I've ever been in since I've known him at least 3 times and, like,
That's
sits in the very front row. And he's the reason why I think I have, you know, I have this job because of a bunch of guardian angels, him being one of them, because I just worked one day. And him, and then when I went in to do the second table read, we sat next to each other and joked around, and then we had to take a mandatory sexual harassment meeting, and we sat next to each other and we sexually harassed each other the whole sexual harassment meeting, and one of the writers saw us and started, like, and all of a sudden I was in a separate scene with him, and I was like, what is this? And then we went to go do the scene, and him and me were just like, I love you, I just love you. and we would make up lines and
awesome.
Pet names and all of that. So him and I love that dynamic, and we're very protective of it because it's like you have to straddle this line where it stays like it's beyond. It's that kind of relationship that's like beyond like, will they get together? Will they not get together? They are thick, fast, forever friends.
Wow.
Like a very special kind of a thing.
I'm telling you, I would have never, ever, ever known that. So that really, for me being a fan and watching the show, makes that even more special for me knowing that. So promise me the next time if you ever come back on my show, you've got to bring him with you because I would love to have the two of you on together talking about, especially the play that you guys are in. So if you have time, we'll have to work that in. But let's go ahead and bring Dee in because I have a feeling, you know, Dee will probably yell at me in a bit. Hi, Dee. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Victoria. Hi, Kirsten.
Hi, Dee.
How you doing, girl?
Good. Me and Dee know each other because we did theater together, didn't we, Dee?
Yes, we did. We sure did. I got the photo of us. I'm like, Steve.
That I sent to you?
We look the same. Yeah, we look the same.
We have that same girl.
10 years later, we're still fam.
I know.
Are you serious? 10 years?
Yes, I'm telling you.
I think it was 10 years ago when we took that photo. It had to have been at least 10.
I think you might have been. Us theater girls, Victoria, you have to understand, we are ageless. And
right.
timeless, and we
absolutely.
Started doing it when we were 9. So,
yes, absolutely.
Gotcha.
They named
well,
Forever 21 after a theater actress.
Yeah, and you know what? Speaking of somebody who would know all of that information is our my entertainment co-host, Michael Kay, who I know has been on pins and needles. MK, are you there with us?
You know, she punishes me like this every freaking time we have a good show. She just keeps me on hold and everything like that. Hello, Kirsten. Hello, Dean. And hello, all the listeners. I'm so happy to be doing this. I want to make a quick mention to the chat room that is just absolutely on fire. But anyways, hello, girls. I'm so happy I made it.
Oh, hi.
Hi, baby doll.
Hey, doll.
Let's switch up the conversation since we got both Dee and Kirsten here and talk about Pretty. So, MK, you go ahead and start your questions about Pretty.
Yeah, Pretty, which we all know is a mockumentary of the Toddlers and Tiaras franchise with Michael Champagne being the proud pageant dad and Annette Champagne being the award-winning daughter. And Kirsten joined the cast in season 2 as Meredith Champagne, sister to Michael and Ethan and sister-in-law to Rabina. But the thing I really love most about Kirsten in this is that Kirsten, here's a funny tidbit. I had no idea you were on Criminal Minds before I started stalking you for Pretty.
Oh, I love that.
I had no idea. And Meredith Champagne is a fantastic, I want to say, oogie character. She's so oogie, I just would like to sit beside her on the bus. And
it creeps me out when we do the scenes. Me and Dee had to do this scene where she's in bed and she's pregnant, and I'm talking about the Bible, and you know, and every time we do a take, I'd like, I gotta take a shower.
It was hard not to laugh during the takes. I mean, I want to laugh every single time because Kirsten plays it so straight that you want to laugh, but I'm like, I don't want to ruin the take. Yeah, I mean, working with Kirsten is fabulous, and she also keeps you honest. You can't be in a scene with Kirsten where you're not at the top of your game because pretty much
she'll
blow you out of the
same
water.
Same thing goes to you. I was so scared because Dee is like one of those people, like when I've done theater with her and stuff, where you're like, I can't do better than that. Like everyone's falling off of their chairs laughing. So you have to be like on your game.
Kirsten,
that's what I love.
She was right there. We did a show together about 10 years ago, and each night we both like, I had it, bitch. No, bitch, I had it. It was my night. No, it was my night. That's the kind of a thing it was. With somebody like Kirsten in a show, you cannot afford to have a bad show. She was what made me run as hard as I did, and we did those shows together.
Yes, and,
that's
you know,
awesome.
That's the whole reason why it's fun to do Pretty is because everybody is so good. Like, Stacey McQueen is, like, a genius, and, you know, and Dee is a genius. So the fact that you get to work with all of these amazing people, and it keeps you solid.
Absolutely. And I think the fact that we all knew each other, it was sometimes you go to sets and Kirsten, it's a family on Criminal Minds, but sometimes when you go like to a different set, and you're the new one there.
This
yeah,
is a different. This is like OG family. This is like original
absolutely.
Family.
Absolutely. So that's where I think it makes it easy for us unpretties because we all knew each other. I mean, we've known Steve for years, and I've known Stacy, and that I think is what makes it work is that these are all people we not only have worked with before, you like. So that makes it, you know, really nice coming to the set every day.
I was actually thinking, ladies and MK, I was actually thinking the same thing as the two of you were talking, that, yeah, it really must do make a difference when you guys know each other and you like each other as opposed to, you know, and all of us have been in those situations where we go into a situation, whether it's a new job or what you guys do, reading for something, and then you've got all these people that you don't know. So that comfort factor is great, and I think also on the show, it really shows.
Right.
Yeah, because we all have like a shorthand and are doing it because we love it, you know. And it's great that people. I mean, that's what's so cool is when it transcends and you have an audience that loves watching it, and we all have fun doing it, and it all works good.
And it also is it's magical because, I mean, with Kirsten, she brings such a different element to it. It's like you might have it in your head blocked out the way you're going to do a scene until Kirsten speaks, and then you go, oh, my God, okay, I got to reverse. I've got to come up with something else. So that's also what's magical about it is that you're always coming up with something different because you never know where these other characters that we like so much are coming from, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, gotcha.
And all the characters from Sam to Stacy to Ethan to Dee, Rubina, Kirsten. Sarah Jessica Parker.
No.
Michael Taylor Gray, everybody brings their own pieces to it. The fact, one piece of information I found really interesting is that the most disturbing part about Meredith that I find is that she always keeps her hands tucked into her sleeve. And I know how that happened. So, Kirsten, let us know why that character trait you added to Meredith.
Well, it just worked out scheduling-wise when they were shooting Pretty that we were, like, right in the middle of shooting. Like, I was working a lot of days on Criminal Minds, and I paint my own nails on Criminal Minds. I used to also dye my own hair, but then there was that unfortunate incident season one where I dyed it a semi-shade of pale green and got told I was never allowed to dye my own hair again because I was a professional actress and you pay people to do that. But then I said, but I draw the line at my nails. So Garcia, I know how Garcia paints her nails, so I do these crazy pattern things that don't make any sense and then I cannot remember. So my nails were in they were painted a very specific way and I couldn't unpaint them. So I originally was like, well, what the fuck? What the frack am I going to do with that? So I was like, well, maybe I'll just do this. And it was just like, please, I don't want Steve to get mad at me. So I'm going to tuck my hands under the thing and then I was like, well, I'm just going to have to, you know, when you're an actor, that's what you do. You're like, okay, how can I rationalize the character, you know? And I made up this thing and it totally helped me. Those are the things, you know, when you make stuff, it's the mistakes that are kind of your gold because then you have to kind of make sense of that mistake and then it just made it all the more fun.
And it did. It really lends a lot to the character. Fun fact, too, I also found out in my little research that your very first paid acting job, do you remember that, Kirsten, was a Diet Dr. Pepper commercial.
Yeah, Whoa. Well, really, my very first paid acting job was I was a head on a table covered in fruit at someone's bar mitzvah. But
I've been there.
Dee, do you remember your first?
Paid job. It would be in D.C. I think it was theater. It was at the Source Theater. A play I got there called Original Treatment, I think was the name of it. Original Treatment. That was the first. It was a theater job, but yeah, that was the first one I got. It was in D.C.
Oh, so no tables, so no heads on the table.
Yeah, hers is much.
No,
yours is much
God.
More highfalutin than mine, T.
No, thank God, no. Well, you know what I did? I was one of those. You know, at a boxing match, I was one of the girls with the cards.
Oh.
Are you serious?
In the military, when I was at the Marine Corps, yep, at El Toro, yep. I was walking around the ring. They paid me $50. I said, heck yeah, I'll get in there.
Very
absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, put this bikini on.
Yeah, you know, well, that was one, I wore shorts. That was my, I absolutely refused. I said, you know, I'm not going to put on a goddamn bikini.
Darling.
Yeah, I'll put on booty shorts, but yeah, shorts.
Right.
Just to remind everybody, you can find Pretty the Series at www.prettytheseries.com. I want to go really quickly to the chat room and thank the likes of Cyrano, Destiny, a whole bunch of new guests, Marben for producing, Linda Lively, Kitty Ryan from Canada, Shannon Sebald overseas, actually, that has a really interesting piece of information. Apparently, Kirsten also likes singing Taking Chances wearing a leather jacket and a bicycle helmet.
Oh, well,
any truth to that, Kirsten?
I did. I do a show. So I do a lot of like theater stuff because I love it, and I do like write things and stuff. And I wrote a show with my friend Tom Lenk, who is a genius and has been on a million things. Most notably, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He was one of the evil nerds. And I've done theater with him before, and we wrote a show and called it Taking Chances with Tom and Kirsten, and we sang that Celine Dion song Taking Chances, and we reenacted the video. At the beginning, and he posted on YouTube, I think, about a week ago. He sent it to me. He was like, I want to put this on YouTube. And it's fun because, you know, I like singing. My dad was an opera singer, so like a low-budget opera singer. So
really?
I can sing on cue. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not like he kind of blew out his vocal cords before his time, let's say, due to much debauchery. But I know how to carry a tune because it was sort of like inbred in me. So it was fun. Yeah, we did that because I do
that's
a lot. And I also
cool.
I'm also in. I should plug this because I always feel bad when I don't. I'm also in another web series called Vampire Mob, which is just shooting
right.
Their second season right now.
Yeah.
Vampire Mob is called.
Vampire Mob, like a mob of vampires.
Okay, great. Well, we're gonna put that information inside of our chat room. Kirsten, you know you ended up, I never like to tell people this, but you ended up staying like 15 minutes longer than what you were supposed to. So we thank you for that.
Thank you. I hope I didn't monopolize, you know, all of your time.
No, no.
Never.
No, never. Dee's got about 30 more minutes herself that she's got to do. So we wanted to stagger it and kind of get you for the first 30 minutes, you and Dee, and then we're going to chat with Dee for a little bit. But Kirsten, we love you. We will continue to follow you. Promise me when you have time, you'll come back on the show and bring Shamar Moore because I'd love to talk to both of you together.
Well, I can't promise for him because he listens to no one but himself. But
okay, I understand that. I completely understand that. Well, if you have time, then I want you to come back and talk about that new movie
you
that
it.
You were talking about that's coming out. We'd love to hear that more about
you
that.
You got it. And I love you, Dee.
I love you, Kirsten.
And thank you for having me.
Thanks
all right,
a lot,
thank
Kirsten.
You so much for being on, darling. We appreciate it. And everybody, that was the one and only Kirsten from Criminal Minds and also Pretty. So,
fabulous.
MK, now we have Dee. We have Dee all to ourselves momentarily. Hey, Dee, you know what? There has been a young lady named Sandy, and Sandy has been on the air, and she has been waiting patiently to ask you a question. She is a big fan of yours. So before we start talking about the new website, and I know your daughter and one of the doctors is going to join us for your 30 minutes, do you mind if I bring Sandy on so she can ask you her question?
Not at all. Go right ahead.
Okay, let's go ahead and see if we can bring Sandy on. And Sandy emailed me earlier today, and she's like, oh, Victoria, please, 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 you've got to let me try to do this and bring her on. So, Sandy, I'm trying to bring you on. Sandy, are you with us?
Hi, Victoria.
Hi, darling. You are live on the air right now and at home with Victoria with Dee and Michael K. So tell us, first say hi to Dee, and then tell us why you're such a big fan of hers.
Hello, Sandy.
Hey, Dee, how are you, girl?
I am fabulous. How are you doing, Miss Sang?
I'm doing great. I started watching Pretty. I just got so hooked on it, and I love Dee's character.
Yay.
She just makes me laugh so hard. just the funny way. Oh, just my favorite thing is on the porch when she's trying to remember what cigarette she's smoking, and, oh, my God, I was on the floor.
And don't know, and you know what, that was an ad-lib because years ago, Steve wrote that character, wrote the smoking in because I used to smoke in a previous life, and Steve knew that. And, you know, years ago, I would be talking to somebody outside, and without even thinking, light up a second cigarette. So that was based on, you know, before I couldn't tell, you know, I'm like, is this a Marlboro? Is that a Cool? Which one is yours? Which one is mine? I could never tell. That's why I put that in.
I just thought it was so funny, and I mean, I just love her. Her character, it's just, oh my gosh. I would love to see you in so many other things too. But what my question is, I know you guys don't have that much time, is I wanted to know who inspired you, like as far as acting, or you know, what started you into acting.
I think you know, yeah, that's an excellent question, and one I'm prepared to answer quickly. I think I've known since I was the age of. Since I was 5 years old, that I wanted to be an actress. There was something about those little plays that you did when you were children, where you got on stage almost instantaneously. For me, that adrenaline was there. Mm-hmm. When I got out of high school, I wanted to go into the field, and my mother encouraged me instead to see a little bit more of the world first. So I went into the Marine Corps, but knowing that after I got, you know, all of that out of the way, that I was come back to this field, and that's exactly what I did. I never took my eyes off of the prize. It was something I've always wanted to do. It's always been there.
Well, I'm so glad you did, because we are blessed to have you, and I'm just thankful that I get to see you on Pretty.
Thank you so much, Sandy. What a sweetheart. Are you my friend
on
Facebook?
I hope you got a chance to see the video I did for Steve, and I don't know if he had put it up. I think it was on the Pretty site for a while. But I noticed the part in there where you were.
I'm having
Sandy,
you
are
you
yeah. friends with me? Okay, good.
On Facebook, yeah.
Okay, well, absolutely. I'm gonna have to check out that. I'm gonna have to check out the video. I definitely. I
but I
love
noticed
to see
the part that I had put in there. You were crying, and Steve had caught you like having to do that scene, and you had to walk out. Was that planned that you walked out during that scene?
No, actually, it wasn't. The good thing about working with Steve, and I've known Steve as long as I've known Kirsten and. Stacey, Steve directs with a light hand. He allows you, the actor, to bring a lot to it. So I think a lot of us come up with a lot of interesting and different ways of doing things because we know Steve is going to let us fly. So, no, it was not planned at all.
It was just very emotional. So I just want to let you know that I just think you are wonderful, and I'm so glad that you're on the show tonight. And I know that you guys have to go because you got more to talk about.
Well, thank you so much.
Sandy, I appreciate you giving me the time.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And, Sandy, we appreciate you holding on and wanting to do that. You see, do you see how much love people show you?
What a sweetheart. Well, I got to thank
you
and Michael for having me on.
I know. Well, listen, MK and I told you when the first couple of times you were on, whenever you want to be on the show, it's just as simple as an email, and you can be on, and we'll always make that happen because this is definitely your on-air home. But getting back with Sandy, Sandy emailed me. It was like this afternoon, and she was like, oh, I have a question to ask, and I can tell in her email. She was a little nervous asking the question. She talked about how much she, you know, she just loves your character and you're one of her favorite characters. And if she could call in and ask your question, I said, of course you could. So, yeah, that was very cool that you did that.
That was really, really sweet. And I'm definitely going to have to go on Facebook and take a look at anything that someone has done, you know, for us,
yeah.
you know, taking some time out of their schedule. I sure as heck want to see it, without a doubt. You know, kudos
to
you, Sandy. I love you, girl.
So, MK, we'll go ahead and switch subjects because I should say real reason why Dee actually is on the show tonight because she's got this new project that she's working on with her daughter. So, MK,
Yay.
You can go ahead and start that conversation while I get something to drink.
No problem.
Thank
get something to drink. I just want to make a quick mention to Sandy and stuff. You know, Dee, the ranks of the Pretty fans with myself, Gina Henry, Shannon Sibbald, and now Sandy at sea, I mean, you have – Pretty is getting some pretty serious fans to go into such detailed comments as to whether or not during this scene you broke down on purpose. So I want to make mention to all of my Pretty people because, you know – There is a lot of love for Pretty out there, and many thanks to Steve Silverman for creating that. But let's segue into Pet Bites and stuff. You and your daughter, you and your lovely daughter Amber, I hope she's joining us now. I'm telling you, the pets you have in your house, woman, go through the list because I will never visit your house until that's cleaned out. You can come to the hotel and I'm going to go to California, but let us know the pets you got.
I'm
going
to come visit you, honey. But Amber, go ahead and let loose, let her know what pets we have in our house right now.
Hi, Amber.
Hi,
Amber.
Hi. Hi, Michael. Hi, Victoria. Okay, I swear all of these guys are in terrariums or my mom would never let them through the door. I have two scorpions. One is a desert scorpion, and the other is an emperor scorpion. I don't really touch those. I just kind of look at them. They're neato to look at. I have a tarantula named Anansi.
Ooh.
My mom, that was her favorite one. I kind of snuck it home and told her what a deal I got and didn't really faze her. She still didn't like him. Her favorite one, though, Rufus, my bearded dragon.
Love him.
He's a sweetheart. I adopted him from my friend, but he's a reptile, which is...
He just sits on his rocks and thinks about life.
We go outside and we sun together. And then my mom's other favorite, Annabelle Lee, which is my bird. We put her in another room, otherwise she would be on every word in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then my three snakes, which everybody loves because they're master escape artists, Apep, Orochimaru, and Voldemort. And, yes, my mom said she's going to name all of my kids.
I said, ma'am, because after she named her pets, I'm like, honey, you're not going to name none of my grandkids. You can hang that up.
So
I mean, Orochimaru.
So, Amber, when did you develop this this love and passion for exotic pets?
Honestly, I've always had it. I remember when I was younger, like 3 or 4, and I was saying I wanted to be an entomologist. My mom just kind of looked at me like, I don't even know what that is. And she found out when I started bringing bugs into the house and sneaking bees and and snails and slugs, and eventually it evolved from that to lizards that I could catch, to lizards that when I got a job I could buy, and it just kind of never left me. You kind of have to have a certain...
But she thinks she was kind of slick. Like for my birthday about 8 years ago, she bought me a bunny rabbit. I'm like, who the hell do you think you're kidding? I had told her, no more animals in my darn house. And so she just happened to buy me a bunny rabbit. I'm like,
and how could you say no?
Naked is something to eat.
And how could you say no to a cute bunny rabbit, right, Amber?
Well, Victoria, let me tell you something, honey, that most of America probably don't know. They are the most lethal atomic gas. When they, that rabbit TT, girl, it's like nuclear warfare. It makes your eyes.
Went off.
And I walked into my bedroom and I smelled bunny rabbit pee pee. I went into the garage. It was piss. And I said, it's got to go. I cannot do everywhere I went. It was like when I slept at night, I dreamed of pee pee. That's how bad it was. Get rid of him. I said, I couldn't take them. They're very social animals. And Amber has gone to school a lot, and I couldn't imagine the poor little thing being in a room by himself. I said, we can't give him the time that he needs. And one of my friends, she had some grandkids, and that's where Fluffy or Petey or whatever the heck his name was,
Peter.
That's where he went. Yeah.
Went off.
Wow. In keeping with the pets and everything, you know, a question that pops to mind, it may be just me, what does one feed a bearded dragon? What does one feed a ball python snake? What does one feed a scorpion? I know this is going to gross me out, but I need to know.
Well, it's best to find those things out before you obtain the pets, because a lot of people
really?
Will get something like a snake and then realize they have to feed it a rat. And a lot of people can't do that. And you do have the option to feed pre-killed rats, or you can, you know, do the deed yourself, but the pet does have to eat, so you need to definitely research that. But ball pythons, they eat rats. If they get big enough, they can eat rabbits or chickens. Scorpions, you just toss them a couple of crickets, and they're fine. They're an arthropod, and usually arthropods can live a long time between meals. That's why I have a lot of these animals, because they go like a month between they need to eat next.
Mm-hmm.
the bearded dragon, he eats every day, but he's an omnivore that also eats insects mainly, but crickets and like romaine lettuce. He loves blueberries and bananas and strawberries. So I usually feed the pets better than I feed myself, because I'm usually tired after making them their extravagant salad and
Well, of course, you're tired from running around hunting, finding rats and killing them, batting them over the head. Where does one find a live rat? I mean, is there a rat store?
You can buy that from the store, can't you, Amber?
Yes, I actually I go to Pets R Us 2000. I've been going there since I was 14, so they've supplied me with most of my pets as well as their food. But you definitely want to go to a place that's selling feeder rats, because there is a difference between what you feed your snake and then, you know, the rats that you're going to keep as a pet, because people do keep rats as pets.
Okay, Tell them what you did, Judith. I'm going to tell you what she did, Victoria and Michael. I tell you, I was ready to kill her. She went up to San Francisco for a leadership conference, and she had a little rat that was supposed to go to her snake. The snake didn't want it, so she left it in a terrarium. Well, that weekend, while I was vacuuming, I noticed him and just kind of took him out. You know what? He sat on my shoulder. He was the sweetest little rat. He would sit there. I kid you not. I was watching television. It was like he's sitting there watching it with me. We bonded. Well, I was going to tell Amber, don't feed him to the snake. This has become my friend. I went to work that Monday, and guess what happened when I got home?
What?
I went to the terrarium, and I'm like, Amber, where is he at? And she's like, what do you mean he was up?
He's gone.
I'm like, you didn't kill him. I called her Eileen Warnos for like months.
In my defense, I tried keeping it, and she said, you're not allowed to have any more pets. So I had to heartbreakingly feed that rat to the snake because I couldn't have any more pets because I had tried to sneak 5 rats in like a couple weeks before anyway.
6, Victoria, 6. Her and her best friend came in the house wearing long coats, and they both were sticking out. And I'm like, wait a minute, stop it right there. They tried to sneak like 6 rats into my house. I said, child, are you
know what I'm obviously
crazy?
You know what I'm thinking of? I have a couple of friends who are our producers of that work with different television shows in New York. And Dee, I really think that this would be a perfect reality show. Dee and Amber, and we can give it some kind of name. What do you guys think? If I can,
well, call
I can,
it When Parents Attack. Victoria, she has, I swear to God, she really has, she's pushed that button with me as far as animals are concerned. Now, I have to say, and Victoria, maybe you can relate to this, I was raised in East L.A., let's call it, it's the hood. That's where I was raised.
Yeah.
There
I was
were
raised
no
in, I was
exotic,
raised in D.C. in
absolutely.
In South
no
East,
exotic
so that
animals.
Considered the hood, yeah.
Yep. No exotic animals anywhere. If
no,
there was
are you kidding
one,
me?
It might have been a
you
bird.
You were lucky to see a fish.
Absolutely. So now
animal.
I've got a child who's bringing in, like, we got 3 snakes now. And I told her, I said, Amber, you know what? Where I'm from in Louisiana, some people back there eat them. It took me a long time to get used to a child who, you know, I tried the Barbie doll thing. I'm like, go with the damn Barbie, for Christ's sake. Black Barbie, Hispanic Barbie, whatever, just Barbie. She had no interest in the damn Barbie. She would take it. I'd find it under a chair, in the garage somewhere. She was into animals, and I knew that from the day she was like 2. As a matter of fact, when she was in the first grade, she beat up a little boy on the playground for stomping an arachnid. I went to the school. I'm like, what the hell is an arachnid? And the principal's like, it's a spider. Amber beat him up because he killed a spider. And I knew then that, you know, everybody was telling me she'll grow out of it. I didn't think she would.
Right. Wow. Well,
tell us a little bit
about
the
website.
The inspiration for
PetBite. Let's talk about the website.
Well, I've been around animals a really long time, and the main thing I've taken away, especially working at a vet clinic for 5-6 years, was you want to get to the people before they have to go to the vet because, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And working at the vet, I was like, 75% of these problems could have been prevented at home if they had, you know, a TV show, a website, something, because people don't seem to read books anymore, to go to know how to take care of these pets, you know, before you adopt your iguana and he comes in with metabolic bone disease because you don't know what to feed him or how to properly, you know, house him with lighting. So that's what the website is for, is I take, you know, my trials and tribulations and I post it so people who are like, oh, my God, my snake escaped. My website will pop up and, you know, give you, you know, help ease that stress on your back of a snake being escaped that I've gone through.
What's the name of the website?
PetBites.com.
Yes, PetBites with a Z at the end.
PetBites, BYTEZ.com. And like Amber said, there were what I felt like a lot of times, Victoria, like I was in the middle of the ocean on a raft by myself. You know, I remember one of our animals dying and me asking myself, what could I have done to prevent this from happening? I mean, once you see that more than once, it tears at your heart. And I wish there was a place that I could go where I said I can go and ask experts or ask someone, what else could I have done? Help me out here. I didn't know any place to go. So that's why we came up. Amber worked with a vet named Dr. William Chavez, and he's on board. And I met these two, I mean, I can't say enough for our producers, Greg and Lex Benedict. I mean, we've got a website that is kick-ass because Greg and Lex built it. They call themselves technology geeks. I call them angels because without them, Pet Bites would not be a reality today. So,
and speaking of Pet Bites, I'm looking at the site right now on my computer as we speak. And I like it because it's really, I guess it's something I would consider really bright and happy. And I love websites that have color and that draw you in. And I love your picture with you and Amber, where Amber has this snake and Dee's kind of tooting her lips, looking at her like, I can't believe this kid has a snake. Yeah. That's very cute.
So I have to, the people that are behind us, Greg and Lex and Amber and Dr. Chavez, we have another animal handler with us, Steve Franklin, who was a friend of Amber's. He's got like, we went to his place and I thought we had a lot of animals. I went to break the door down the first time I went in because he has, you know that little lizard that runs on water?
Australian frilled lizard.
Oh, my, I didn't think they were real, for goodness sake, and to see all these animals that he's got, so.
Well, technically, Steve is my supplier, so.
Well, I got to tell him to Steve then. Yeah, you push her.
Wow, that's, fantastic, because, when you said when my snake got out and it would save the pain of my back, it's like, I would have to move the house. I don't know. It's like, that's it, we're out of here. Anyways, go ahead.
There were years before I finally spoke to a vet, and I was like, I told Amber, are we just idiots? We can't keep this damn snake in his terrarium. And I was talking to, we were at a seminar, and we were talking to a zoologist, and he said, well, Dee, don't you know they're known as escape artists? I said, I've had a snake for years, and no one, he said, yeah, that's what ball pythons do. And so I wrote a segment called The Fugitive. For just that reason, because nobody ever told me, other than feeling like an idiot, there were steps you can take if your snake got lost in the house. And ours has done it so many times. I'm like, he's all over the place.
Do you look for it, or does it just eventually resurface?
They eventually resurface. You're sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden you'll see them crawling from. And that's what they do. They go to the nearest, warmest spot. Like my snake, for instance, he likes to crawl into my Prada purse in my closet. I mean, I guess he recognized.
I would have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah. With the ball python, if I can get used to him, Michael, I'm pretty sure anybody out there
anybody
could get used
can.
To these animals.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's something else, that we want to address as well. I have a lot of friends who are afraid of snakes, and we have a segment that we have recorded, it hasn't been edited yet, called Scaredy Cat. Most people are. The only thing they have to be afraid of is fear itself. So we took my friend Octavia Spencer, who is an award-nominated actress. She's coming out in a movie called The Help in August. I'm begging everybody to please go see it. It was executive produced by Steven Spielberg and Chris Columbus, and it's going to be huge. But she was the first one we brought in because sometimes she'll call me from the phone and say, where are your snakes? I'm like, they're in the terrarium. Some of my friends are really afraid to come into my house, and I told him I couldn't live in this house with animals that would be in attack mode. I just can't.
Couldn't do it,
No, I trust you. I mean, you're not a stupid woman, so, clearly, if you can get used to them, I think anybody could.
Absolutely.
I want to make a real quick mention, too, of Pet Bites. It's www.petbites.com. You can also find them on Facebook /Pet Bites. You guys are fantastic. Tell me a little bit about I was looking at Little Nibblers on Pet Bites. Is that something you're doing, a private project besides Pet Bites?
No, that's just one of that's the name of, I guess, an episode, you would call it, one of our bites of information, because a lot of people feed their animals crickets. And what a lot of people don't know is that, if your pet's not eating the crickets, crickets are opportunistic feeders and will most definitely start nibbling on your pet. And that's one of the last things you want. It's mainly known with rats and snakes. A rat will most definitely attack and eat your snake if you just throw them in the cage. The same with crickets. So that's just an informative way of how to properly make sure the crickets aren't going to, munch on your pet, and how to make sure the crickets are also nutritionally viable.
We were going to
I love
that. Go ahead, Victoria.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry. I was going to say, because I'm sitting here looking at the website, and it's great. I love the pet of the month. That's cute.
That's was that Rascal Amber?
Yes, the bigger one.
One of her iguanas, Rascal. Yeah, and we also got the pet tails on there, which I love because that is what Pet Bites is all about. It's I want to unite the exotic, you know, animal lovers out there. Give us all one place that we can go where you can come and get information or you can just, you know, talk to other people who also own exotic animals because, you know, on television.
And there are a lot of them out there, you know.
Absolutely.
Actually, I was, when Michael Kay emailed me and talked to me about that we were going to be doing this show, I remember, I want to say like maybe three or four years ago when I worked at a television station. It was either in the Midwest or one of the stations I worked on the Eastern Shore. I remember doing a story, and the story was about the increase in exotic animals that were being brought to the United States.
Right.
But not only that, the increase of owners and people who love exotic animals. So I can just certainly say from my own knowledge of being a reporter, I've done stories on that, and there are a lot of people in the U.S. who love exotic pets.
Absolutely. And what do you see on television, though? How to wrestle a Bengal tiger. What to do if a crocodile is in your backyard. I'm never going to have a damn crocodile. I'm never going to wrestle with a Bengal tiger. I want to know what to do if my damn snake gets lost in the house. I want you to tell me what to do to get rid of the rabbit pest. Those are the kind of things that we're not getting a lot of information about. So that's where I'm at. I'm like, every show on television is about animals that we will never have in our backyard. Let's put one on TV about the animals that somebody will have in their home in the United States of America.
Good idea.
Gotcha.
Very good idea.
Well, listen, guys, our time is up with you, but the young lady that you were saying that's got this movie coming out, I know that you had talked to MK about trying to get her on the show, so that would be fun if we can get her on, too.
Her schedule is insanity, but without a doubt, her definitely sending kudos out to her for The Help. It stars Bryce Dallas Howard, Viola Davis, Emma Stone, produced by Steven Spielberg and Chris Columbus, and directed by Tate Taylor. It is, I've seen it. It's fabulous.
Wow.
It's without a doubt one of the most, they're calling it an important movie, and I hate,
gotcha,
you know, stuff like that. But when I saw it, that's the first thing that came to mind. Oh, my, this is an important movie. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, they're calling it actually
the
Next Color Purple, aren't they, Dee?
They're what now?
They're calling it the Next Color Purple.
I don't know if they are. I am.
You are?
That's the way it impacted me when I saw it. Absolutely. I saw it and I thought, you know, I mean, you want to see something that just makes you, I cried all the way home. This movie moves you. Whether you like what they got to say or like the message or not, you're going to feel something walking away. And, you know, what more to ask for?
Yeah,
well, listen, Dee Amber, we have got to go. We've only got about a minute left on the show. So, guys, thank you for coming on, and we'll continue to talk about your website even when you're not on the air, just to get that word out to let folks know that that website is out there and that the both of you are out there in terms of being able to give that information. I think it's great what you're doing. And thanks so much, Loves, for being on with us. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you, guys, so much. You're two of my favorite people.
Thank you, Amber and Dee. I love you guys.
We love you guys. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Again, that was Dee and Amber. I just think it's great. So make sure you take a look at the website. It is very, very cool, colorful, and all of that good stuff. So we want to say thank you to everybody who's inside the chat room. Amy is there. We've got Katie who's there, Linda who's always with us. Marilyn Bennett produced the show tonight. Marilyn, kudos to you. Thank you so much for being there. Who else is in the chat room that I missed, MK?
We also have I'm Rider User, Parthenia, our great little UK guest, Shannon Sibbald, who is probably sleeping by now, but Steve McGraw and Sweetcakes06. So just want to thank you so much. And the two new guests, guest 11438 and guest 12964. But Vic,
again,
I had a great time tonight.
I know. I did too, but you know, I'm rushing you along because you see the clock. We've got a minute. We've got to get the show done. So, MK, thanks so much, and everybody, we're going to be here next week because we're going to be doing another show where we're going to be talking about Alabama and efforts out there in terms of how we can actually help our friends in Alabama as a result of that tornado. So God bless, and thank you so much.
You have been listening to At Home with Victoria, a popular news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Plus, download the show on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. Tune in again next time for At Home with Victoria with your host, Victoria Gaither.